Bring in TK. Just trying to
We're
eat
not doing
lunch.
That.
No?
Oh, I mean, no. Hey. No, we going to do it. We're going to talk about it, TK.
We're not doing that.
We're going to talk about it.
Nico didn't have a point. They're at home right now. They're at home. Do you think they'd be at home if Luka was on this team? No, they would not.
What? Lakers might be home in 48 hours.
No, I'm talking about, do you think that the Mavericks would have not made the playoffs?
They'd be at the same.
If Luka was on.
They'd be at the same place the Lakers look like they're on their way to. If they had to go up against one of them ones, like Ant? Yeah, Ant. Yeah.
What's the Nico had a point? Because the Lakers are down 3-1?
I don't know if you can win with Luka. I don't know if you can win with him.
Okay.
And went to the finals last year.
And he played one of them real teams, and they embarrassed him. So you can win games. You can, like, get through, like, matchups work out, and you can get through the playoffs. But championship? I think you need a better player on your roster.
And that's Anthony Davis.
No. I'm talking about, like, if Luka's winning, you need somebody better than Luka on that team. Mm-hmm. Kyrie was there. That helped them get to that finals and everything else like that. But if you want Luka to be your number one, which is what you would have had to do by paying him, like, you wouldn't been able to, unless you develop somebody, get another guy better than him on that roster. I don't think you can win with him being the best
bench
player.
Having 6 points was because of Luka.
The
Lakers bench.
And Luka played great in the game offensively. Here's the problem with him. He was getting used on defense.
So,
and he has been all season, all series.
Okay.
But the problem with the Lakers isn't Luka. The problem with the Lakers is every other role player that they do not have. That's why JJ had to make the "what is you doing, baby" decision and play all of his starters the entire second half, the first time that's happened in the last 25 years in the shot clock era, because he doesn't trust anybody, and they don't have a center. They've got to put Rui Hachimura with the Kobe mask on at 5 or LeBron at 5. They need a center. They need a center that Luka can thrive throwing lobs to, a guy that likes to set screens and dive. They need a 3-and-D wing, another one, and they don't have that. They only have guys that can play one side of the ball. You got the Jared Vanderbilts of the world. Mm. You got the Gabe Vincents of the world. And both of those guys are unplayable.
Mind you, none of this is Luka's fault. But when we're talking about a championship with him being the best player, I don't think you can win a championship with him being the best player.
Is he the best player on this team?
I mean, him and LeBron are probably equal right now. Hmm. They're probably equal. And LeBron was doing everything he could.
I like this version of Damian. Damian's kind of like in a philosophical state. He's got the pen in his hand. He's kind of ready to just kind of on the beard. You know what I mean? You're just kind of like, it's almost like you're writing books about this topic now.
I am.
And just kind of calculating. Yeah. And you're like calculating whether this is some bullsh.
Well, I try to make notes when you guys are talking because something will spring into my head. And sometimes you guys have a good back and forth and
it's really
I don't want to interrupt it. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to like figure out a note that says, yeah, Nico was right. Cause I can't write that note. So this dialogue started because the Lakers are down 3-1?
Well, no. So, number one, Nico wasn't right. He wasn't right. Like, I'm just making a joke. He wasn't right because there are other things that go into factor, right? Like, this guy's Dallas, right? Like, there are off-the-court implications, and I'm going to just take my chances with Luka.
Yeah.
But the thought process that you can't win with him, you can't win a championship with him, I don't think that's wrong. You need somebody on your team to be better than him. And then you need a bunch of people that can cover up for, like, his defense is, we're less than 12 months away. We were saying this 12 months ago. Mm-hmm. It was one of the worst defensive performances we've ever seen.
Can you win a championship with Jalen Brunson as your best player?
I don't think so. I think you need a better player than him or an equal player than him.
You're barely going to get out of the first round with Jalen Brunson as your best player. And you got some officiating help to probably push it along.
Can you win it? Can you contend with Carl Anthony Towns as your best player?
No.
I mean,
I'll go so far as to say absolutely not.
I think with the collective around them is different though. Like the Knicks, like this Knicks team, I like Mike.
Okay, so
I
let's like talk OG about let's take Jalen Brunson off the Knicks and put Luka on the Knicks. Do you feel like this Knicks team with Luka Doncic on it, who will be the best player on the Knicks, do you think that he could that Knicks team with Luka on it could beat the Celtics?
No. Because the Celtics would do what they did in the finals. Like I said, you get a matchup where all the matchups work and we're able to get on the boards on OKC and all this other stuff. But when you play them champions, they will carve his ass up.
What if Luka took Tatum's place?
Yeah, Jaylen Brown will cover up for everything that Luka doesn't do.
And so you can win a championship with that team.
Yeah, because you've got guys that are equal. And I'm not saying Jaylen Brown's as good as Luka, like offensively. But you've got three guys that cover up for all his mistakes.
But none of them are as good. You hear what's happening right now, Damian, right? We're changing this.
No, that's fine. If you want to say Luka's the best player on that team and they win a championship, for sure. Checkmate, whatever you want to say. But the point is, you have so many guys that cover up for what he just refuses to do. So you can get away with it. And so many elite guys that cover up for what he's not able to do.
So isn't that how you build a contender then around Luka? Is you find strong defenders to go around him? Not replace him like Anthony Davis did, but go around him.
That's how you would build a team around. Now, but we're talking about the Celtics. Celtics have, four other elite. This isn't just like P.J. Washington. This is elite, like Derek White, Jalen Brown, Kristaps Porzingis, like top five at their position.
Could you replace Jalen Brown with him?
Jalen Brown with
Luka, and then keep Tatum. Does that make them better or worse in your opinion?
Makes them redundant.
Yeah, a little bit. And now you're getting into a category where I think Jason Tatum is just as good as Luka Doncic.
What about Luka replacing Donovan Mitchell?
They ain't winning.
Well, you don't like Cleveland anyway. So that
No, they're not winning. They're not winning.
All right.
I agree that building a roster with around a guard that does not play defense is very difficult to contend. I agree. I mean, with that point, that's why I've said many times that building a team around Damian Lillard was just too hard. This is really, really difficult. And you saw that come to fruition when you saw even Brooke Lopez, defensive player of the year kind of guy, and Giannis, defensive player of the year guy, not be able to cover up on the back end for that bad of perimeter defense.
I'll ask both of you guys a question. We'll just ask. This is what Perk talked about. I'll give you $100. Who you putting it on to win a championship first? Anthony Edwards or Luka Doncic?
Luka Doncic.
Luka Doncic.
I'll put it on that.
Okay.
You need less around him because he defends and he gets after it on both ends of the floor. You can get away with Rudy Gobert and Dante DiVincenzo to potentially be successful. I'll put it to you like this. You put Luka on, we'll play this game. You put Luka on the Timberwolves. Are they just as good as
the same?
No, I don't think they're.
Yeah.
You don't think they're as good?
No.
You could have done exactly what Ant did.
I disagree.
In that game. Nah. In game four.
Nah, I completely disagree.
Nah.
Well, let's just sit here and not talk to each other.
Anyway.
That was a hell of a performance from Ant-Man. Do you have any things to say about your boy who's season is over and perhaps next season is over?
Well, definitely. I mean, his next season's probably over when he's almost 35 and he tears his Achilles. That's just a very long injury to come back from. Mm-hmm. It's tough because I think you guys know that the hate for Dame is really love for Dame. You know what I mean? It comes from like a bitter ex kind of a place, you know? I effing love Dame. Like, he provided me so many amazing moments as a Portland Trailblazer fan. I remember the 2018-2019 season, which is probably the best season outside of the season that we lost in the Western Conference Finals to the Lakers up 15 in Game 7, and we probably would have won a title that year. But I was pretty young then. So I'm an adult at this point, and I remember waking up at 4 a.m. in Bali to watch Game 7 on a VPN between the Nuggets and the Blazers. And I remember being just cheering as Evan Turner and Myers Leonard and this collection of scrubs, like Chief, I forget what his last name was, Abu Dha, you know what I'm talking about. Like, we had some random ass players, him and CJ just doing their thing, putting the team on their back. And I went to Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals in Portland, and we were up again 15 in Game 3 and let that lead slip away like everyone does to the Warriors when they're peaking. And like, I remember being at the NFL draft when he hit Paul George with the bye-bye. And I was like literally running around Nashville being like, bye-bye, see you later, bye-bye. And so to that, I am incredibly sad that he not only has gone through so much, right? He had the torn core muscle abdominal strain that he had to get surgery for. He had that twice. He had a blood clot that he just came back from. And I think he probably rushed that. And now he tears his Achilles. After last season, he had an Achilles strain. So he was an incredibly durable player for most of his career. And one of the most reliable players that you could count on to get you that 30 every night. And I remember just the beginning of his career where he was an all-star before he was really considered an all-star. And everyone in Portland was like, man, this guy is so good. And then finally something happened when the world also said, no, he's like the man. I remember he went God mode in the 2020 season against Denver, again, when we lost that series because CJ McCollum's foot was on the line and it was out of bounds, and then we lost, and I knew Dame was probably going to leave right then. And I think he took like 3 more years to leave, but I knew you can't win with this other guy. So I think he had like 58, and Kevin Durant's like, this guy's God right now. and so like, it's sad because it's not only a sure knowledge that it's probably over with this team in Milwaukee, because you just can't wait. If you're Giannis, you can't wait another this year and next year and then try to do it again when it kind of really wasn't working between them anyway. Like, just the pick and roll never really took place, never really got – they kind of are both ISO guys. So the championship that he left Portland for, he's probably not going to get. And so it's – as a Portland fan that's really a Dame fan, it's really sad. It's just very sad.
Yeah, man. He's one of the greats, man. He is one of the great point guards, one of the great shooters I've ever seen. For me, in this era, I hope I'm not forgetting anybody. I'm just thinking off the top of my head. It's and Steph will be first, but it's Steph, Kyrie, Dame. You know, as far as guys that are just like, these guys are
point guards.
Yeah, yeah. And Russ is in there too, but I kind of look at Russ a little more combo
as a
guard-ish.
Different kind of a guard. Yeah.
But those three are just wow. Three of the seven best point guards I've ever seen, the league has ever seen in our life.
And that jab step, side step, step back that he has, sort of like that pound into the side step that we've now just sort of seen as Dame, like peak Dame. Mm-hmm. That's just going to go down. He's the greatest Blazer ever. He's the greatest Blazer ever. And losing him obviously was super sad the way that it all went down. And I think that our team needed a refresh because they weren't putting anybody around him that was going to be able to contend. And that Western Conference Finals run was probably as good as it was ever going to get. But I mean, Giannis is probably going to ask for a trade, or they're going to have to trade him anyway, because they don't have any draft picks until like 2031, and they have a lot of guys under contract. They're making way too much money for their production, and you've kind of got to figure out a way to rebuild in some way. So whether Giannis asks out or Milwaukee does it themselves, that kind of just feels like an inevitability.
Do you think the Bucks can just trade Giannis? We were talking about that earlier. I know you have some thoughts on Giannis, and because I got a chance to catch up on Heat Check this morning. So that's obviously a big part of this Dame Lillard story, is I think people were watching it anyways, healthy Dame or not. Now you have this really unfortunate incident with Dame Lillard that's going to take him out for the next year. And you've got the Bucks, like, where are we now? Like, where is the direction of the, like, what direction do we take with this franchise?
Yeah, I think you can trade him. I think that's kind of, I think there's probably a lot of teams that will want him. I think him on the Knicks, you probably get a bunch of players back. You can get probably Karl Anthony Towns, whether that's OG Anunoby. Probably can't get Mikal just because of how much they pay to get him. But you can get stuff, and you can get picks, and you can figure it out. Or I don't know if he ever wants to go to Brooklyn, but Brooklyn has some of those Phoenix picks. And so you can kind of figure out a way to have draft picks that are as high as Milwaukee's picks would be if they had their own back. I mean, they could just trade them to Portland. We'll give them back their picks, you know. We'll give them back if you want them. The swaps and the unprotected 2028. We'll give you some of our own as well, you know. Could you imagine Giannis the Blazer? Oh, my God. Oh, that would just be – that would just be just peak. I'd be so insufferable. I would be incredibly insufferable.
What shifting gears a little bit, I'm super intrigued by this game 5 tonight in Denver. How do you see this series going? I'm still picking the Clippers, but they've now maybe I won't put game 4 in a game they should have won because they had to fight back from so far to get it to that point. But I thought they should have won game 1. Thought they've outplayed them for the majority of the series. But here they are 2-2. They don't have home court anymore. How do you think it plays out in the next couple games?
Isn't it crazy that this is the closest series and yet it feels like it should be already over? Like it's 2-2. And you could reasonably say that it feels like the Clippers could have swept them. Or maybe gentleman sweep. Game 1, they should have won. Game 4, they could have easily won. If they would have gone to overtime, they would have won. Denver was running on fumes. They were just attacking these guys that basically played L.A. Lakers-like minutes.
I was about to say, didn't they do the same thing in the second half?
Yeah. And the only reason David Adam is not getting killed for it is, one, he's basically an interim, like, just duct tape coach. And two, they won. And that Aaron Gordon lob, we'll just call it the fake lob, got them the win. So I feel like you haven't had any real clippering. Because it wasn't like the Clippers have melted down. They've just sort of effed around and lost game 1. So it feels like the Clippers should win this series. I don't know how much Denver has in them, really, left. It like, that's a cool story. It goes to 2-2. But I think this thing ends in 6. I think they win in Denver. I think they win at home. Anything could happen. And Jokic obviously is playing phenomenal basketball. And you got great Christian Brown minutes. He played awesome. Christian Brown played awesome. Aaron Gordon played awesome. What are we getting from Russ? Is he playing tonight? Is he not? I don't know. I haven't seen it. But it does feel like the Clippers probably have more gas in the tank for the next round too, which I don't want to see the Nuggets just go down next round because they're obviously gassed.
There's 4 games tonight. Do you think there's 4 games tonight. 3 of them the series can end. Do you think they all end tonight? Bucks Pacers
is one. No, I think
the
Pistons get I think that one's a wrap. I don't think there's anything they can do.
I hope it is.
I think the Pistons could get a win at Madison Square Garden. And again, this is one of those series too where you're like, the Pistons probably should have won game 1 if it wasn't for a 21-0 run, which I was actually at that game. I'm like, what is going on here? Jalen Brunson went bananas. Everyone, you had campaign putting up these random just swaps And you're like, okay, what's going on? You had Tobias Harris sort of cooling off late in that game. And then obviously they got screwed in the last game, just totally and epically screwed, where Tim Hardaway Jr. should have had three shots to win that game. We need a big Cade game. We need a big Cade game. We need Dennis Schroeder to come to play. We need all the role players, Tim Hardaway, Malik Beasley. Everybody has to be right on it. And we can't have any Jalen Brunson foul baiting. Like, that just cannot occur.
Nixon five. He ain't need no foul baiting that fourth quarter. He was lighting their asses up.
He was lighting, and he's injured. He was lighting them up. It was incredible to watch.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Why don't you like Detroit? They're fun.
Like
they're
Detroit.
A fun team.
I ain't got no problem with Detroit. I'm just a Knicks supporter.
He's a Knicks fan.
Well, no. I'm a Knicks supporter.
He's a Knicks
There's
fan.
A difference.
Okay, Knicks show.
Pretty much. Now, that's not the line. What's it? Oh, Knicks tape. That's
Knicks
what
tape.
I said.
Okay, Knicks tape.
Do you hate Cleveland the way that Jesse and Kenny do?
Why
don't
would I hate Cleveland?
Don't listen to this
that's
man.
A great question.
Don't to
Why
this
would
man,
you
TK.
Hate Cleveland? I don't know.
We don't hate Cleveland
These
at all.
These two, no, for real. Well, true story. Hold on, TK. Hold on, TK. Before game three, these two sat here on these airwaves in the city of Sacramento on a show that airs across the country saying, you know, I don't know about this Cleveland team. They're not winning games by enough. They're not beating this team.
They heard you.
They handle business.
If anything, we motivated them. All we did was ask some questions.
And like that night, they won by 37. And then the next, you know, they won by like a million or whatever it was last night.
55 points they won by.
That was the worst playoff performance I've ever seen in my life. How embarrassing.
Yeah, that, well,
I think
that was,
Miami
that was
is,
bad.
By the way, though, that Miami trade that they tried to give to Portland, we really got out of that one. I'm glad. Because Jaime Hawkins has done nothing. Tyler Hero is just the same kind of cone as Anthony Simons is.
Settle
I don't
down.
Care if he's a better shooter.
Settle huh? down with the Tyler Hero. Hey, my man's now an all-star. He had a heck of a season this year. Don't do that to Tyler Hero.
I wouldn't want – I mean, you talk about cannot win with that guy. You cannot win
I'm
with that
say,
guy.
I'm not saying give him $350 million. I'm just saying, don't let my man cook.
Can't win with Tyler Hero.
I feel like there's, like, numbers that we have in our minds for players – based on what we know that they are capable of. And the number that comes to mind for what is fair for Tyler Hero is like $22 million. That's what I think is fair for him.
I think that's what's
it's,
fair.
I don't know what it is.
Triple J.
But that's what feels
oh,
good. Triple J is worth zero. Triple J, I don't know if you guys saw. I posted this because I went on Juju from Meadowlark's podcast. He's one of the most overrated players I've ever seen. I've never gotten the JJJ, the Triple J love ever. His shot has always been broken, even when it goes in. He's always in trouble. He's always hurt. You never can rely on him. He's not a center. He's undersized, and now he wants $60 million. I'm sorry, sir. Get out of here.
He'd be on the trade block for me.
God, they might as well. They
Come
said
on.
John.
Already.
They said John Morant. Like, what was McMahon talking about? I have this in our notes somewhere. The league is down on John Morant.
Wow. Huh. Come to Sacramento.
Okay.
Why?
Like, how down is the league? And when we say league, do we mean everybody?
Are they Devin Carter down?
Yeah. How down are we? Let's talk about this a little bit. Memphis is in. It feels like Memphis is in a bad way. It now this could just be us getting hyped.
I still
up.
Haven't got my Cleveland takeout yet, but I will.
Oh no, no, sorry. Yeah,
yeah, because the slander and the defamation was wrong. We are believers.
It
in Cleveland.
Can't be.
We just had questions.
It can't be slander when it happened live on the radio.
No, you guys didn't listen.
That's
okay,
it.
Yeah, that's what it is. We the entire universe heard it as a one. The entire D'Lo and Casey universe heard it one way.
They're
but
wrong.
Yeah, we misunderstood.
They're wrong.
That's what it was. Cleveland's
the
legit.
Only reason we can hate Cleveland, the only reason, is because they did our man George Niang dirty and traded him midway through the season.
That's your
they
boy.
No, that's
and
yeah,
they
that's
like,
your boy.
And they kept him. him out of the facility the day that they were trading him. They were like, hey, you know, maybe you want to just take a day off today. Like, hey, you know, just stay home. Everything's cool, you know. And Karis and both of him, now they go to Atlanta where it's just him and Trey Young and Dyson Daniels. And Ty Jerome's arrogant ass is just cooking everybody.
It's LeBron, Kyrie, and Ty Jerome. That's the hierarchy.
I haven't seen your boy hit a three in 3 years.
Oh, George Niang?
Yeah, no,
what you're remembering, George Niang had outside of him deciding he was going to take that three-pointer that should have been Trey's three-pointer. I didn't even text him about that. I was like, I'm just going to let that one go. But he had some up-and-unders. He had a couple of layups. He had some crucial shots in that play-in game.
You know, our boy is also, like, cool with George Niang, our boy Elijah Hicks.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why mm-hmm. That's where I always give him a little slack. I was like, all right, man, if Elijah think you cool, you cool. And now if TK think you cool, then you cool.
Yeah,
but damn, I need you to make a three. You haven't made a three in years at this point.
What? Hold on. Are you serious? That is such a lie.
Well, he didn't make one in Cleveland. I know that much. And I was like, why do they keep playing him?
That's not even true.
See, they locked him out of the building.
They did. They did keep him out of the building. He did shoot 28% from three in that play-in game. And he did shoot 25% from three in the other play-in game. So those two might be in your mind. Those two,
maybe that's what
those two might be in your mind. But he's shooting 41% from three in Atlanta this year and 40% from three this year in Cleveland. So we just need to stop the slander. That's pretty damn good.
He's probably 4 of 10.
So
that's amazing. That is so amazing.
40% is 40%.
That's your boy, and anybody that's cool with TK is cool with me, so I'm going to leave him alone.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway.
Where's your favorite landing spot for Giannis? Is it for like the Knicks? Is that your number one spot for him?
That's definitely one. Well, my number one spot is obviously Portland, but
of course, obviously.
Yeah, I think New York would be incredible. I think that's an awesome spot. You need somewhere where there's a bunch of shooters and a guard that's okay with just doing the little things. Right? That's because he's not going to do well with a star guard, like a ball dominant guard. Giannis is not the kind of guy, and I said this on the podcast, today's podcast, he's not the kind of guy who wants to set 40 screens. That's what was insane about the Dame Giannis pick and roll like thing. It's like, do you think Giannis is going to set 40 screens a game for Dame? Are you serious that he's going to just dive to the rim? Do you think that's what Giannis wants to do? No, Giannis wants to be Dame. Like, Giannis wants to have the ball, and he wants Dame to set screens for him. So that's what's crazy. So I think New York, I don't know how him and Brunson would do. I don't know. What do you guys think? I think maybe – what do you guys think? I'm kind of running out of landing spots.
Well, first of all, I was chuckling because I don't know if you caught this. On Friday when Gary Trent Jr. was going crazy – it needed one shot, one more three to break the record. Like five times down, Giannis just went one-on-one. Just went one-on-one. It got his own shot. The whole building was like, get him one more. Get him.
And
Giannis.
And Giannis really be work. I don't know if you've ever seen Giannis warm up in person before, but he warms up like he's a guard. He's working on the handles. He's going behind the back like a Harlem Globetrotter out there, trying to show you he has a euro and this bag and up and under. It's like, what are you doing, Giannis?
Giannis had no interest in that record on Friday. That was hilarious. But landing spots.
You know what? The X that, because I just realized that was actually to lead to a different question about Ja, Zion, and all that. Mm. We got it. We can't. Doug Christie was named the Kings head coach. I don't want that. I don't want to
full time for good.
Yeah, yeah, he's the Sacramento Kings head coach.
My God.
Whoa. Let's explain yourself.
I had a feeling you weren't going to be high on this, but I'd like to know why.
Okay, it's not about the person. I don't know enough whether the process plays out and you go through the whole thing as a new GM and Doug is the answer. I don't have the test, but I think the problem that I'm having in general is that the Kings just do not want to go through what a normal professional process looks like. All we do is they just give us the answers. We don't know that there is no process. They could tell us there was a process. There's not a process. Scott Perry is announced less than 24 hours after the King season is over. I think it was 12 hours. There were no other GM candidates that were, well, I mean, there were some that were like speculated, but there was no interviews. There was nothing that we knew that would normally be how a functioning team operates. I'm kind of just to the point where I feel like Vivek, and I'm forgetting his daughter's name, so I'll forgive me. He and her are kind of just vibing, doing whatever they want to do, and then hiring the people that allow them to do what they want to do. I'm sure Doug Christie will be fine, but are there other coaches that would have been better? We'll never know. We'll never know.
We'll never know. And even the same thing with the GM situation. Like, forgive me if I don't care that they didn't interview Scott Grzungic.
That's a good general manager, right?
Assistant
there.
Indiana Pacers. Like, no, I don't care. Scott Perry is certified, verified in this league, and I'll take my chances with Scott Perry. No,
he also broke up with you 3 months into the last relationship y'all have.
Well, it looks like the Knicks job won't be available anytime soon, so I don't think we'll have to worry about that this time. But I understand the whole process thing. I think Scott Perry is the right guy to deal with Vivek. And I was thinking about this, and somebody mentioned it as well. This is the first time since Jeff Petrie they're not going with a first-time general manager.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy that's been established in this league, and Pete D'Alessandro, Vlade Divac, Monty McNair, all first-time guys that probably weren't the right choice. At least this time, he looked at a guy like, hey, this is a certified, verified guy in this league. I'm going to go with that and try that. I'm okay with it. And if Scott Perry is good with Doug Christie being the head coach, I'm okay with that too.
But let's be honest. It was like, hey, we're going to hire you, but we're keeping Doug. So that's a part of it. It's like, have you guys seen that show, The Studio, at all? Have you seen that show?
I've seen an episode of it. It's very good.
Yeah, so the first episode's all you really need to know. That's like pretty much, remember when Seth Rogen gets the job as the studio head? And he's like, how do you feel about Kool-Aid?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, what? He's like, yeah, I think we need to make a big box office movie about the Kool-Aid, man. How you feeling about that? And he's in the job interview, desperate for it. And he's like, love Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. First thing we're going to do. That feels to me like Vivek.
Oh, no, no.
Do you think Scott Perry is desperate for a job?
Yes, he's been unemployed for 2 years. Oh, yes, I do. Desperate.
Are you telling me Doug Christie is Kool-Aid?
Oh,
no, no.
Boo, no. Boo this TK.
Absolutely not.
I feel about Doug Christie as the coach. And he's like, because I really feel like he's going to be the best. And he's like, love Doug Christie. And then he's got to go back to whoever his marketing person is, who the woman who played Agatha in Marvel is like his marketing person. And she's like, Kool-Aid, are you serious? Are you an idiot?
But he finds the great workaround.
The Kool-Aid, like sad. It was like about, like the Kool-Aid, drinking the Kool-Aid and jumping off the ledge.
And that's why he's great. Scott Perry will find
he'll find a way to make the blockbuster.
That's what the great ones do.
And then he has to tell Scorsese, actually, no, we're gonna make this other Kool-Aid film, the one that, and we're actually killing your Kool-Aid film
Coogler
that you're making.
Great.
That's a direct competitor of ours.
Ryan Coogler would make
Coogler
a great
would make
movie
a great
about Kool-Aid.
It would be fantastic.
It would immediately be racist though, because it's Ryan Coogler. It's like, come on, man. Like, come on, man.
I see Ryan Coogler is such a fascinating guy to me. I have not seen Sinners yet. Have you guys seen it?
He saw it, and it started an argument earlier with
he's the GOAT, TK. We got to go. I don't want to bring on another one, but he's the GOAT. He's the greatest. Yeah. Today.
We'll talk about it next. We'll talk about it next week. Was the spitting scene real nasty?
Spitting
where she spit in his mouth?
No, it wasn't.
You don't even remember it.
No, it wasn't real nasty. I know what you're talking. Well, there was a bigger situation going on there than spitting. So yeah, no, it wasn't nasty though. It was whatever.
It's whatever.
I keep getting. All right. Well, never mind. We'll talk about it later. No, it's all good. TK, we love you.
Love you.
All right.